This is Jody Peterson with the KVNF Regional Newscast. A new analysis shows that government assistance during the COVID-19 crisis has kept the poverty rate from increasing drastically. The Mountain West News Bureau's Amanda Peacher reports.
Congress passed the CARES Act in March. It authorized stimulus checks for many Americans, boosted unemployment benefits, and increased grocery dollars for needy families. And that $2 trillion aid package worked. Megan Curran is with the Columbia University Center on Poverty and Social Policy.
The good news is that cash supports work. Congress took important action at the start of the crisis in the form of the stimulus checks and bigger and better unemployment benefits.
Curran says that aid will potentially prevent 12 million more people from falling into poverty this year. But she also points out that federal stimulus dollars skipped over some people, in particular teenagers and 20-somethings who were listed as dependents of their parents.
So we saw very high percentages of young people left out in Montana, Wyoming, Idaho.
Curran also points out that this good news is temporary. The help from Congress is short-term, but the COVID-19 crisis is not. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Amanda Peacher.
Two-thirds of Americans think the federal government could be doing more to reduce the impacts of climate change. That's according to a new Pew Research report. The Mountain West News Bureau's Madeline Beck reports.
The report found extremely broad support for federal actions like planting millions of trees. Most supported tax credits for carbon capture and storage projects, and they also favored taxing corporations more based on emissions. Democrats were more supportive overall, but more than half of Republicans were on board with those ideas too. And younger Republicans helped tip that scale, with more support for environmental safeguards and alternative energy sources. Alec Tyson co-authored the report.
Younger Republicans are much less supportive of fossil fuel energy sources, whether that's offshore oil and gas, coal mining, or hydraulic fracturing. Fewer than half, or about half, favor those methods of energy production.
Still, he says older, more conservative Republicans make up the majority of the GOP, and only 22% of the party as a whole believe humans are a main driver behind the climate crisis. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.
As the country turned its attention towards the pandemic, something else was creeping into the Mountain West: drought conditions. The Mountain West News Bureau's Noah Glick reports.
Some areas in our region saw less than average precipitation this winter, and other areas got snow, but recent high temperatures have led to that snow melting faster than usual. All of that is leading to drought across the Mountain West. That's according to Adam Hartman. He's a meteorologist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Particularly just east of the Rockies, it's been a combination of really three major factors: the above normal temperatures, high wind events, and low humidity levels.
As of last week, drought conditions were seen in much of the region, including most of Nevada and Utah, and portions of Colorado and New Mexico are under extreme drought. Hartman says conditions are likely to persist throughout much of the region this year, especially in traditionally dry areas. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Noah Glick.
The COVID-19 pandemic has forced the nation to figure out something it's tried to do for years: increase access to telehealth. But as emergency orders end, will that access remain? The Mountain West News Bureau's Madeline Beck reports.
In a nutshell, telehealth is healthcare over video or phone. It's been tough to get it out to the masses, but then the pandemic hit.
We've done 10 years of telehealth adoption in 3 months.
That's Idaho Department of Health and Welfare Director Dave Jepson. He says during the pandemic, there's been a nearly 4,000% increase in Idaho's Medicaid telehealth claims.
March, April, and May of 2019, across all of Medicaid, we had about 3,000 telehealth visits that took place. And for that same time period here of 2020, we had 117,500 telehealth claims.
To allow that expansion, federal and state governments temporarily rolled back dozens of regulations. But now that so many people use telehealth, lawmakers don't want to go back to how it was before. In Idaho, Governor Brad Little recently signed an executive order that makes his state's telehealth changes permanent.
This step should help preserve these healthcare advances long after COVID-19.
That means Idahoans will be able to keep using phones and non-HIPAA-compliant platforms like Zoom to talk with healthcare professionals. Congressmen on both sides of the aisle want to maintain telehealth access, too. Tennessee Republican Senator Lamar Alexander championed this transition during a recent Senate committee hearing on the issue.
My recommendation is that of the 31 federal policy changes that we've had, which have helped cause this explosion of telehealth, that at least two be made permanent.
Those changes include both Medicare and Medicaid covering more telehealth services and covering people in more areas. Before, only people in specific rural locations could get telehealth covered, and even then, only certain types of treatment. Now, telehealth helps patients covered by those federal programs across the nation with everything from physical therapy to counseling. But private insurance companies have to be on board, too.
Telehealth has always been a unique challenge for the provision of health care.
That's John Worley with Blue Cross of Idaho. Historically, private insurance companies haven't reimbursed for a range of telehealth services that studies have shown can be safely provided over video or phone.
It provides great options and great opportunities for people, but it also raises a number of questions about quality of care, about access, about connectivity.
Still, the company committed to covering more telehealth appointments to keep patients safe during the pandemic. Companies across the country, including in our region, did the same. But end dates for their emergency measures are coming up. Blue Cross of Idaho, though, has decided to maintain its telehealth coverage until the end of the year and likely beyond.
I think as far as breadth of coverage, we will continue to provide these services into the future and provide access.
He says that's because they think it'll minimize costs, and they recognize that it's allowed more patient access to providers. Still, Worley says that doesn't mean Blue Cross will keep paying providers the same for video visits as for office visits.
We want to evaluate, look at the market, try and determine if people feel like they're getting the quality of care that they need, try and determine how many people are using it, and trying to determine what is an appropriate level of payment.
How much insurance companies reimburse for telehealth services, though, could determine whether providers can afford to offer them.
The private sector needs to step up as well.
Joseph Kavidar is president of the American Telemedicine Association and a professor at Harvard Medical School. He highlighted the need for maintaining the same level of reimbursements at the recent Senate committee hearing.
It would be very difficult to conduct this care model in a world where we got some payment for some things and didn't get paid for others.
All agree that physical offices and support staff will still need to be paid for, whether it's an in-person visit or a telehealth one. But even if all private insurers are on board and governments relax regulations, there are still many hurdles, broadband access being a big one, especially in rural counties across our region where the service is most needed. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.
And that concludes the KVNF Regional Newscast. Thanks for listening.